the chapter printed out. If anybody would like a copy of it printed out, then this here. Before I get into that, it's me. I was at the toning room yesterday at the gym. It's just part of the ongoing physio for my leg. And as I sat there, it's generally elderly people there, so I fit in quite well with that. There's a lady there, and she said something about Easter. And she said, I think Easter is a very somber time. And there's a man and his wife, and he says, well, I'm not religious, he says. So, and he said, every day really is the same as any other day. And I have to confess, before I thought about it, I said, well, I'm religious. I don't think I've ever called myself religious before or for many years, but I said, I'm religious. And I said, actually, I think it's a very special day. And then his wife, she says, well, how was it somber? She said, I thought it was supposed to be a time of rejoicing because of the resurrection. And I said, well, I think you've got it right. I said, it's somber because Jesus died on the cross for us. And we rejoice because he's no longer on the cross, because he rose from the dead. And, you know, it's just a great opportunity to be able to share the truth of the gospel, that Jesus died. And Paul says, you know, this is the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. And our great hope is, as Christians, is that Jesus is coming back again. So, yeah, so I just thought I'd share that with you. So dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. And dare to make it known. And so I want to continue today and just recap a little bit from verses 3 to 7. And the heading for that is that the best were chosen for the king's service. So we'll read these three verses. And I'll just quickly go over some of the points I made as I finished last week. And then we'll go into some fresh kind of stuff. So verse 3 of Daniel chapter 1. You've read it that many times, I'm sure, you know, between last week and this week, that you know it off by heart. And yeah, I had some looks then. Some of you are alive. It's not like the Anchorage. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians, and the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. And they were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter into the king's service. And one of the points I've got is that only the best are chosen to serve the king. And we need to be the best to serve our king, because our king is King Jesus. They were to undergo 3 years training, and after that, if they made the grade, then they would enter the king's service, and they were to be fed the best of the king's food. Food that would have been served to the king. And so, in one sense, they were treated quite well. In one sense. But my question is to myself, and to how would that compare with them being forcefully removed from family, friends, and culture, and their way of life, their belief system, the temple? How would that compare with, you know, what they've lost, what they've missed? And then I came across a question which I hadn't ever thought about. I've never read anything about this until just a week or so ago. And the question is this: was Daniel a eunuch? Was Daniel forced to become a eunuch? And you might think, well, that's a funny question. But actually, we need to stop and think about this, I think. And there are those who believe that Daniel would have been made to become a eunuch. And although there is no specific verse in the Bible to support this fact, it is thought it is a possibility because of the following reasons. Daniel was under the care of Ashpenaz, who was the master of the eunuchs. Secondly, Daniel rose to such a high position of authority under the reigns of Nebuchadnezzar and Darius that it was felt proof that he must have had to be a eunuch so that he wouldn't be able to have offspring who would actually then challenge the king. And thirdly, Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 39 and verse 7, before the fall of Jerusalem, and he says this: "And some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, who will be born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." And I bring that up because, you know, we go through situations in life and we think, that's really bad. But here is a young man, and remember, he's a young man, he's an adolescent, probably the same age as Josh, right? So that's, you know, it gives a bit of perspective. And he's taken away from his family, away from his culture, away from the place of worship. And although he was fed the best of the food, he's lost his manhood. There to be a Daniel. What are you going through this morning? How does that compare to what this young man lost? There to be a Daniel. There to stand alone. There to have a purpose firm. And dare to make it known. And so Daniel was removed from his culture. But not only was he removed from his culture, Nebuchadnezzar wanted to introduce him into Babylonian culture. And part of that was to rename them. And so we read in verses 6 to 7, "Amongst those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And the chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, he gave the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego." And so there's a subtle thing which takes place in the renaming of these guys. So Daniel's, whose name was God is my judge, his name was changed to Belteshazzar. And Bel, which means Bel protects his life. And Bel is also called Marduk, who is the chief Babylonian god. So instead of God being his judge, it's Bel who becomes the important person, as they say his name. And of course, in Old Testament times, names were very important. I think I mentioned this the other week. You know, in Africa, we go to Africa, the Africans, they have names. You know, they have special meaning for their names. When African people get born again, they change their name. And they have a new name because it has a special meaning. And, you know, so this was a very significant thing which was taking place. Hananiah, which means the Lord shows grace, was changed to Shadrach, which means under the command of Aku. And Aku was the moon god. And so see how the shift is taking place. Mishael, who is like God. And his name is changed to Meshach, who is like Aku. And then Azariah, the Lord helps. And Abednego, servant of Nebo or Nabu, the God of learning and of writing. And so there's this shift which takes place. And Nebuchadnezzar changes the names to make them feel or to make it look like they've been integrated into Babylonian culture. And he hoped that their new names would help them to integrate. So here we have these guys. They're taken away from their home, taken away from their culture. They're brought into a new culture. They've been trained. They're being trained for a purpose that they might be helpful to Nebuchadnezzar, and their names are being changed. This is quite a big thing. But we find that Daniel stands firm. And so in verses 8 to 6, Daniel resolves to follow his God. And so verse 8 it says, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission." He asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now Daniel had caused the official to show Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned you your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age? and the king would then have my head because of you. And Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the other young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine, and they were to drink. And the wine they were to drink, and he gave them vegetables instead. Verse 8, there are two things I want to say here. Daniel resolved. Do you know, in life we have to make resolution. Daniel was determined that he was going to follow his God, no matter what. And, you know, as we've just read these few verses through from chapter 1, as we've looked a little bit at the background in the first week, you know, here is a young man who's facing immense challenge. And yet he determines. And, you know, the truth of the matter is for you and I today in our Christian walk is that we will face challenge. And we might not understand all that happens to us. We might not. But we need to be like Daniel. And as we go through into other chapters, we'll see the challenges. We'll see the challenge for, you know, Hananiah and the other two, you know, as they face the fiery furnace. We see the challenge for Daniel as he faces the choice to either bow down or face the lion's den. What do we face compared with some of those things? And I know sometimes we face heartache, and I know sometimes we face loss, and sometimes it is such a big question mark. Why does God? But we talked about faith earlier on. And faith is knowing that God is faithful. Faith is knowing that whatever we go through, God is with us. It's taking hold of the promises of God. I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's reminding ourselves that his name is Emmanuel. That God is with us. And really, it's being resolute to be like the three young men as they faced the choice of either facing the furnace or bowing down to the image. We know God can deliver us from this, but even if he doesn't, we will still trust him. And you know, faith is easy. Can I say this the right way? Faith is easy when things are going good. The testing of our faith comes when things don't go good. And big question marks. And we need to resolve. We need to resolve that no matter what, God is who he is. And God doesn't change. I am the Lord. I do not change. My God is not a man that he should lie. And that we come and we put our trust in him. That we become a little bit perhaps like Job and say, yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And that takes a lot of courage. That takes a lot, perhaps, of speaking to ourselves and saying, no matter what, come what may, I will resolve to be this way. I will be determined to be this way. And we're hearing a lot, you know, about the persecuted church, and it's good that we're hearing that. But these men and women, they've resolved that they're not going to give in. They've resolved that they're not going to lose their faith. They resolved that they're not going to turn. And we, though we might not face some of these big issues, we face big issues as far as we're concerned. But let's minimize some of the things that we face. But we still have to be resolute. We still have to resolve that we're going to stand firm. And Daniel resolved that he would not eat the meat from the king's table. And the reason he didn't want to eat meat from the king's table was because he felt that he would defile himself. He felt that he would defile himself. And the ancient Hebrew word defile carries the thought of polluting or staining. And Daniel considered for himself and for his three friends that if he ate the meat which came from the king's table, which would be sumptuous, it would have been the best of the best. But he felt that he would have defiled himself and that he would have stained himself before God. You know, the Bible calls us to be men and women of purity. It calls us to be men and women who are holy, who are set apart. And Daniel is a great picture of being set apart. They considered Daniel and the other three, they considered the king's food defiled for three reasons. First of all, it was not in line with the Levitical laws of clean and unclean food. And I don't want to go into a Bible study of Leviticus. You can go there and read that for yourself. But, you know, there are certain foods which God said in Leviticus which were clean to eat and unclean to eat. Now, we know in the New Testament this changes, but we're not in the New Testament. We're in the Old Testament. And Daniel is a good, solid Jewish man following God according to the dietary laws of Leviticus. Secondly, probably the meat and the wine would have been sacrificed or offered to idols for blessing. And so therefore, they would not want to partake of that because that was totally against their belief. And we find something similar to that in 1 Corinthians, where Paul talks about food offered to idols and things like that. And, you know, we sometimes there are issues of conscience, even for us as New Testament Christians, which we need to think about. But thirdly, it probably implied that eating the king's food would have implied fellowship with a Babylonian culture. And actually, to partake of the king's food would have been seen as being committed to loyalty to the king. And there's a big thing here. Because these guys didn't go into captivity willingly, they were taken away. And so here is the thing, you know, the best of the best, the enticement, eat this great food, drink this best wine. But what does it speak of? And you know, for us today, sometimes there are things which we, you know, people, well, that's okay. But what do these things demonstrate of our commitment to Jesus? And Daniel would not partake of the king's food because it was not in line with the Levitical laws. It was probably food offered to idols. But most of all, he did not want to be seen to be in truck, if you like, with Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't want it to be seen that he was committing loyalty to Nebuchadnezzar. When we pastored the church in Newquay in Cornwall, there was a place there, and there was a guy there, and he was into all kinds of holistic kind of stuff. He was a tall chap. He was over 6 foot. And one Sunday, just as we'd started the service, and we were worshiping the Lord, and I opened my eyes, and there was this guy sat right in the middle of the congregation with his hands up, palms held high. And over the place where they had all this stuff, there was all kinds of signs and things, all anti-Christian. And there was this guy right in the middle of our congregation with his hands in the air and a friend of his alongside. And I'm thinking to myself, what's this guy doing in our service? What's he doing here? Anyway, we went through and I preached the sermon and came to the end. And my habit was in those days, as it was when I was here, you know, go to the door and shake hands with people. And he was very chatty with me, wanted to know how I was and, you know, very friendly. And I'm thinking, he's the enemy. Yeah. What's going on here? And but he was doing a similar thing to what Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do with Daniel. He was wanting it to look like him and I were good friends. And a lady in the church came to me and she said, are you and Patrick all right then? You know, I thought you wouldn't have agreed with him, but you seem to be, you know, you seem to be getting on really well with him. And I said, no, I said, don't be misguided. He's trying something on here. And I'm telling him, actually, there's a big difference between what you believe and what I believe. But he tried to do a similar thing to what Nebuchadnezzar is doing. And you know, I was just thinking about this. You know, we use the word Christian. We're Christians. Jehovah's Witnesses use the word Christians. Mormons call themselves Christians. We are followers of Jesus. We're born again of the Spirit of God. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one, one in three. That's our distinction. And you know, we can lose our identity if we're not careful because other people steal it. And sometimes because they use a similar terminology to what we use, it looks like that we are in truck with them, that we have association with them. Just to finish the story about the guy in Nuclea, a couple of days after this instance, or a little time after that, I had a phone call about 7 o'clock in the morning, and the guy who this man, Patrick, had brought with him into the church, he rung me and he said, "Alan, I need to come and talk to you." And I said, "That's fine." And actually, he found himself in a real spiritual dilemma because of all that this guy had been involved in. And thankfully, we were able to help him and to see him come through. And if my memory serves me correctly, he made a commitment for Jesus. We need to stand strong. We need to be resolved that we're not going to let our witness down. We're not going to let our testimony down. We're going to stand firm. And, you know, for these guys to refuse or to ask not to eat the food from the king's table took a lot of courage. Because to reject the food from the king's table was like rejecting the king himself. Very, very, you know, put themselves in a very challenging situation. But notice how Daniel dealt with the situation. He wasn't bombastic, he wasn't argumentative, but it says he asked permission not to eat the food. And God was at work in the situation. Notice that. God gave him favor, it says, with the official. God gave him favor with the officials. When we stand firm for God, God stands firm with us. And so he asked permission. And he presented the guard with a challenge. "Test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables for 10 days." "Test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." And they won. They won the test. Because they were faithful, God was on their side. And in verses 17 to 21, we read these words. God rewards faithfulness. That's the title of my subheading for these verses. God rewards faithfulness. "To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding, all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds." Notice this is God. God giving them ability. When God uses us, we need to give God thanks. We need to acknowledge and to honor that this is his work. There's him who is helping us to do these things. And at the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them and found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And so they entered the king's service. And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. Isn't that great? He found them better, 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. To these young men, God gave. God gave. Both last week and the week before, and I want to say it again. This is the God's sovereignty. This is the sovereignty of God at work. This is God. If we honor God, then God will honor us. Daniel, this morning, Daniel is writing in Hebrew for a Jewish readership. What an inspiration it must have been for those of who've been left behind, or for those who are Hebrews, to read this. Nebuchadnezzar tried to indoctrinate Daniel by giving them the best food, by giving them the best education, hoping in the process that they would forget their roots and upbringing and would become dependent on him for everything. It did not work. Daniel and his friends refused, never losing faith in God. They continued to serve and honor him, and God rewarded their faithfulness by making him the best, none equal to them. Satan tried the same with Jesus. Matthew 4, Luke 4. If you worship me, I will give you all these kingdoms. And he tries it with us, subtly sometimes, sometimes blatantly. But we need to stand firm. We need to stand firm. We need to be like Daniel, and we need to resolve, be determined that we are going to stand firm. We are going to be the people that God desires us to be. So at this, Daniel and his friends show us that inner conviction can overcome any outer pressure, and that God-honoring convictions yield God-given rewards. Daniel and his friends show us that inner conviction can overcome any outer pressure, and that God-honoring convictions yield God-given rewards. It's not always easy being a Christian. It's not always easy to say that we're going to live according to the Word of God. There are many challenges. And sometimes there are many questions which come into our minds. But we have to resolve to know. If God be God, then let's serve him. If God is not God, well, we don't need to serve him. But if God is God, then let's serve him. Let's honor him. And if we will honor him, then he will honor us. Amen? So, Father, we just want to say thank you for your great love to us. Thank you because your promise to us is that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us. Thank you because, yeah, sometimes we face great challenges. Sometimes there's such great question marks in our lives. But Lord, we want to be in that place where we resolve that we will trust you, come what may. And just like Daniel and his friends, that we will know the strength and the ability to be honorable for you. And thank you because you rewarded their faithfulness and you rewarded their faith. And Father, we believe today that you, if we will stand for you, then you will reward our faithfulness and our faith. So bless your people this week, I pray. Can I do this? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may you know God's peace in this week. Amen. I want to finish with a song.